Hello and welcome to AULC Ministries. I'm Reverend Dr. Rob White here with this week's message. Now, before we get started, we're going to talk about something this week that weighs heavily on many people's minds and hearts. We're going to get a little bit serious, if you will. But anyway, before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's get started with our service. If you would join me, please. Heavenly Father, we ask that as we come today with our service, that you'll be with us, you'll shine your glory down us, and share your presence with us as we talk about a very personal problem that's affecting a lot of people today, and just that you'll help us and to get through this. We're still experiencing this sheltering in place and this hunkering down, and it's causing a lot of these problems we're going to talk about today. So if you'll just be with us today, help us to realize what we can do, that this has been going on for a long time and that you're going to be here to help us. We just ask, Lord, that you'll be here with us today, guide us with your words, and we just ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Why me, Lord, what have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving? All of the kindness you've shown.
Lord, help me, Jesus. I'm wasted. So help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I need it.
Me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back.
Oh!
Jesus,
my soul's in your hands.
To Reverend Dr. Rob White from the AULC Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Roku, Amazon Fire TV and TalkShoe. And be sure to visit www.aulc.us.
Now, I don't have a scripture lesson for today, simply because the fact that we've got a very serious problem to talk about today, and the fact that we are experiencing this throughout our nation, and that, well, let's just face it, it's a big problem. I will refer to some scriptures throughout our message today. This problem affects preachers too. I mean, that's about all that I can say. It affects preachers and it affects everybody. And so, if you're one of the people that this is affecting, you'll understand it, probably more than most. So, just be with us as we go through this today and try to figure out what's going on here. So, without further ado, we're going to get into our message today, because today we're talking about something that's affecting millions of people around the world. I'm talking about depression. You probably figured that out already just from what little I've already said. In America, we've been sheltering in place, hunkering down, staying at home, forced to quarantine, and let's face it, we're all getting depressed. Now, for many of us, if we stay cooped up too long, we start getting cabin fever. But at least with cabin fever, we can pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and do something about it. Like I said, pastors are no different than anybody else. We all get this. We all become depressed. We all have to do the same thing that you're all doing too. In these days of COVID-19, we better mask up and soak ourselves in hand sanitizer and put on protective clothing, and then decide to stay home and stay put because we just might get infected if we go out. Now, I heard a couple of new terms the other day: quarantine fatigue and quarantine complacency. Now, as I understand it, quarantine fatigue is where you're tired and depressed because you're having to work from home, and you're ready to go back to work in the office or a facility where you're working. Now, quarantine complacency is just a matter that you forget to grab your mask or your hand sanitizer or your other protective equipment before you go out. And then you can't go into the grocery store or shops where you want to go into. And I know there's more to it than this, but you get the idea what I'm talking about. You know, it's something that this quarantine fatigue, I know many people that I work with that work from home, they're experiencing this right now because they're ready to come back to work. You know, they've worked around their kids and their dogs and their pets and their spouses, and now they've been doing that for 6 months now, and they're tired of it. And me, I'm one of what they call essential workers, because I have to go in every day. I've got to face this head on, and I'm exposed possibly every day. And there's several of us that where I work, that's the way it is. It's something that we don't have quarantine fatigue in the fact that we're working from home, but it's the fact that we're having to go into work every day, and we would rather stay at home where it's safe, and we'd rather work from home. But we're essential. We can't. Now, tell me if you can identify with this song. Now, this is from Hee Haw years and years ago, but tell me if you can identify from this.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Yeah. I know there are many times in my past where this could have easily been the theme song of my life. And I dare say that I'm not the only one here today that feels that way. Now, more than 17 million Americans suffer from depression. The resulting absenteeism and loss of productivity is estimated to cost the American economy more than $20 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars each year. Edward F. Ziegler calls depression the common cold of psychological disorders. It's just that common. We all experience days when we get the blues. It hurts. Not the pain like you have when you have a broken bone, but this is worse. This is pain that others can't see. This is pain that others can't understand. It's one of, in one of his reoccurring bouts with depression, Abe Lincoln once said, "If what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human family, there would be not one cheerful face on earth." Now, some of you here today are struggling with depression. You're down, and though you try to lift yourself up, you just can't seem to do it. Your friends and your family say, well, just snap out of it. Get over it already. But only if you could. If only it was that easy. I know this past few months, having to do the live streaming, I've went back. I've watched some of my sermon videos. And I see that I've been slipping into a depression of not being in front of my congregation, not having the ability to look at my congregation eye to eye, face to face, having to look into a camera to do my services and to do my sermons, and it's just not the same. I've been doing research on this, and I'm not alone. There's a lot of pastors around the world that are having this same issue right now. They are in a quarantine fatigue of a sorts, because we're having to just look into a camera, look into a lens, a plastic or a glass lens, and we can't see people face to face in our congregations. Well, today, I want us to look at a man in the Bible. A man who did courageous things for God's kingdom, and yet a man of God who had to battle becoming discouraged and being depressed. As we look at Elijah and how God helped him to overcome his battle with depression, I ask today that you let the Holy Spirit speak to you and comfort you today, and allow Him to help you to overcome your thoughts of discouragement and depression. Elijah had many reasons to be depressed, but I think he had more reasons why he shouldn't be depressed. First of all, he knew the power of God. God did mighty things through Elijah. While a fugitive in a foreign land, he lived with a widow and her son. Upon Elijah's promise, their food supply was never depleted. Their last jar of flour never ran out. The last jug of oil never ran dry. When the widow's son mysteriously and suddenly died, well, Elijah raised him from the dead. Elijah knew that God worked miracles. He saw it firsthand. So why should he doubt the power of God to save now? The second reason why Elijah shouldn't have been afraid is that he had confidence in God. God had delivered him before and had provided and protected him many times. When Elijah predicted a drought and a famine, the famine did come as he predicted, and Elijah was forced to flee for his life. But while he was in hiding, God sustained him by having the ravens bring him food, feeding him miraculously every day. If God, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, cared for Elijah then, surely Elijah would know that God would take care of him in the circumstances of today. And the third thing is that Elijah was an obedient prophet. If Elijah was a wayward prophet who had been ignoring God's instructions, then it might be easier to understand. But Elijah was an obedient prophet. He wasn't like Jonah. He tried to run and not do what God told him to do. Elijah was living in the will of God, doing what God told him to do, and doing it when God told him to do it. Yet, with all this said, Elijah still got discouraged, and Elijah still got depressed. You know, we as Christians have a great deal going for us. We know that God cares for us. He's proven it to us through the cross. We know that God provides for us. We have a roof over our heads, clothes on our back, bread in our belly. And we know that God works miracles, and we've seen it firsthand in this church. And I wish that I could say that as Christians, we never got the blues, that we never got discouraged or depressed, but it's simply not true. As Christians, we've got the joy down in our hearts, but we're not immune to having those blue moods. Great Christian men and women have struggled with bouts of deep, dark depression. The great reformer Martin Luther was prone to bouts of depression, so much that he would lock himself in his study. Once his wife dressed in all black and wore a black veil, and when Luther asked her who died, she said, "Well, God did." Luther got upset and said, "That would never happen." And she replied, "Well, then stop acting like it has." Even the great leader of the Protestant Reformation got depressed. And Luther wasn't the only one. Moses got depressed. David prayed that God would take him away. Job cursed the day that he was born. Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers back in the 18th century, used to get so depressed that occasionally the church deacons would have to carry him to the pulpit. Charles Spurgeon later stated that the best of men are but men at best. So it's understandable for us to feel defeated and depressed and stressed out occasionally, but that should never be the norm. The Christian's life is one marked by joy, but to think that means that you'll never have those bad days when you get the blues, well, that's simply unrealistic. Now, Elijah got depressed, and there were many circumstances that happened that made him vulnerable to being depressed. As we look at these, know what they are so that you can be on guard when they happen to you. The first things that made Elijah susceptible to being depressed is that he had just won a major victory. He had just defeated 450 prophets of the false god Baal. Now, God had won the victory, and the people's hearts were turned back towards the one true God. And Elijah had won, and he won hands down. What excitement that must have been. Yet, that made him vulnerable to being depressed. Being on top of the mountain is great, but the problem with being on top is that there's only one direction that you can go down. Think about it. When one sports team plays another sports team, and they're both teams that are contenders for the championship, and the one wins, and everybody's so excited, and they're so energetic. And the next week, that winning team plays some no-name team, and they struggle. Well, that's the letdown that happens. Just like many people get depressed after the Christmas holidays because there's so much going on. And there's all that excitement. And when that excitement goes, what do? Well, let me warn you, life is full of ups and downs. And when you get on those ups, don't expect that you'll never come down. Eventually you will, and you need to be prepared for that. The second thing that made Elijah susceptible to being depressed is that he was physically exhausted. He was wore out. He had just had this long day event. Then he went and waited for the rain. And when the rain first fell, he had to run 18 miles to reach the capital city of Jezreel as quickly as he could. Then when Jezebel threatened him, he turned around and he ran again. And for most of the next day, he traveled deep into the desert. He was at the point of near exhaustion. And when you're wore out, when you're exhausted, you're more likely to succumb to thoughts of depression. Now, I say this because I know how active some of you are, which is a good thing. Yet, some of you are so busy that you never take the time to recharge your batteries. You're setting yourself up for a crash. Learn to take some time off. Learn how to relax. And by all means, slow down. I know I have trouble with this. I am a bivocational pastor. It means I have a full-time job during the week, and on the weekends, I'm still a pastor, even during that full-time job. I still have to do my job as well as prepare for Sundays. And I'm always preparing. I'm always being a pastor. And sometimes with other extracurricular activities going on, like the Indiana Guard Reserve, and the Christian Motorcyclist Association, and other things like that, I don't take time to relax. I don't take time to slow down. I'm one of those people, and I pay for it. I've seen it over the past few weeks in my sermons. I've been paying for it. Thus, you've been paying for it too. And I apologize for that. I'm coming out of it. I am getting some rest now. I am monitoring my activities a little bit more. I'm taking a little time for myself. There was one Saturday morning, a dad opened his briefcase at home and he sat down and started working. His little boy comes in and says, "Dad, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I didn't get all my work finished, so I had to bring some home." And the boy said, "Well, when you go back to work on Monday, why don't you ask them to put you in a slower group?" Some of you, like myself, needs to be put into a slower group, or you're going to suffer burnout. Then you're going to set up yourself for a battle of depression. Now, the third reason Elijah was a prime candidate for depression is that he was the recipient of bad news. Elijah had a contract on his life. That in itself would depress most people. Elijah had just won a great victory only to discover that the evil Jezebel was still out to get him. And instead of repenting, she was more resolved than ever to spread her wickedness. And instead of getting better, Elijah's problems only got worse. Yet Jezebel was not just any ordinary woman. It's funny how Elijah wasn't afraid of 450 men, yet this one mean woman causes him to run for his life. Now, I think the best description I've ever heard of Jezebel is that she was Satan's wife. And when she said she was going to kill Elijah, well, she meant it. Now, almost always, depression is preceded by some type of bad news. There was an old man sitting on a street corner sobbing uncontrollably, and a guy stops and says, "What's wrong?" The man says, "I'm 85 years old, and I'm married to a 22-year-old gorgeous blonde who's madly in love with me." And the guy says, "So why are you crying?" The old fellow looks up with tears in his eyes and says, "I can't remember where I live." When something bad happens in your life, you get upset about it, especially if it's one of those dreaded D words like divorce or disease or disaster or even death. Now, it's normal to get depressed after one of those events. In fact, it would be odd if someone close to you died and you weren't sad about it. There needs to be a normal period of mourning, but there's also got to be a limit. If you or someone you know has gone through a horrific ordeal and 6 months later they still haven't got back into enjoying life, they still haven't gotten out of the house, then there's something wrong there, and that person needs help in the grieving process. Now, Elijah was a prime candidate for a battle with depression, and that depression affected him. First, it affected his drive. Elijah just wanted to give up. Elijah says, "I've had enough, Lord." In verse 4, Elijah has given his best, but events only got worse, and there wasn't any sign that he was going to get any better. Psychologists call this the helpless, hopeless syndrome. And that's when bad things are happening to you and you feel helpless to stop them. And you don't see any sign that the situation will get better in the future, so you have no hope. It's kind of like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh saying, "Oh, bother." Now, Elijah must have thought to himself, "What good have I done? Nothing's changed, so I'm going to give up." Now, Elijah did exacerbate his circumstances. He was not the only one left, but it's normal when a person is depressed to think that the situation that they are in is actually worse than it is. And Elijah saw his ordeal as hopeless, so he just wanted to give up. Now, some of you might feel that way today. You've tried to keep your marriage intact, but instead of getting things getting better, they get worse, so you just want to give up. You try to be a good parent, but it makes no difference. You rush home from work, and you fix a decent meal, and you try to be nice to everyone, and all they do is gripe, and nothing you do seems to matter. Well, Elijah wanted to give up. In fact, he was so discouraged that he wanted to end his life, and he prayed to the Lord. He says, "Take my life." Charles Spurgeon wrote about how strange it was that a man who would never die would be taken into heaven by a chariot of fire, would pray a prayer asking God to take his life. Now, I'm sure Elijah was glad that God didn't answer that prayer the way he wanted him to. But Elijah had taken his eyes off of God and onto his own problems, and he didn't see any hope. And if you don't have hope and you don't believe, you have a future. Not only did Elijah want to give up, but he began to feel down about himself. He claimed that he was no better than his ancestors. People who are depressed tend to think low of themselves. They think that nobody cares and that the world would be a better place without them. They see themselves as failures, and then they look for evidence to match that belief. I call this the Charlie Brown syndrome. We get so accustomed to failing that we just identify with it. There was a story in the newspapers a few years back about a man in Buffalo, New York. This man was so distraught at his failings in life that he jumped out a fourth-story window and landed on a car roof below and suffered only a few facial cuts. Went back into the building, and he took the elevator to the fourth floor, and he jumped again and once again landed on the same car roof, this time breaking his wrist and his ankle. A police officer then arrested him, took him to a hospital where, I understand, they put him into a first floor room. If that man felt like a failure before now, imagine how he feels now that he's failed a few times. When we are ourselves, we have a few failures and we lose sight that who we are in Christ, we start to doubt our worth to God and to others. So often the depression results and suicide is not all uncommon. And we say How can anybody love a person like me, or I can't do anything right? Another effect of Elijah's depression is that he felt alone. If you feel that you've been left alone and that nobody cares about you, you're a prime candidate for depression. The young adult away from home for the first time, the newly widowed person, a soldier just shipped overseas, the single mom, often battle depression more than others. When you get depressed, you tend to withdraw from others, which only makes things worse, and you begin this downward spiral into deep depression. Now, Elijah, he was depressed, but God wasn't going to allow Elijah to sulk in self-pity for very long. God was going to lift Elijah from that pit. And by now, looking at how God did that, my prayer for you today is that you'll allow God to do the same for you. I don't want to pretend that if a person has a chemical imbalance or a serious psychological disorder, that they can suddenly just get well the way Elijah did. Because a chemical imbalance is a disorder that needs to be taken care of. But most other kinds of depression can be healed by following Elijah's example here. The first thing God did to answer Elijah's depression was to meet his physical needs. God had an angel appear and feed Elijah. Then Elijah rested. Some of you today need to take better care of yourself. And there's a reason why God gave you a day of rest. So take advantage of it. The second thing God did was to reveal himself to Elijah. Elijah had temporarily taken his eyes off of God and instead placed them on his circumstances. So God came in the gentle whisper to comfort Elijah and to reassure him. You see, God is bigger than any circumstance that you may have in your life. God is bigger than any problem you may be facing today. God is bigger than any person you have. If you're down, the best thing you can do is to look up. Pity party, get out there and get involved. I know a few years ago, after my late wife passed away, just before that she got really sick, I needed to do something. I was getting depressed. I was not seeing any future. And so God put me to getting busy. I got busy. I joined the Christian Motorcyclist Association. I joined some other organizations. I got myself buried deeply, more deeply into my ministry and into my work. And I just kept myself busy. I had people tell me, you know, you shouldn't be here right now. And especially after she passed away, I got even busier. God kept me busy to keep me from being depressed. And I thank him for that. See, getting involved in doing things that would impact the lives of others. During a lecture on mental health, someone once asked Dr. Carl Menninger, what would you advise a person to do if that person felt a nervous breakdown coming on? Most people thought he would say, well, go see a psychiatrist immediately, but he didn't. Much to everyone's astonishment, Dr. Menninger said, lock up your house, go across the railroad tracks, find someone in need, and help that person. If you're depressed, look for someone in dire circumstances, take some dramatic steps to help him or her, and when you reach out and you serve someone else, you'll be amazed at how much comfort you'll receive in return. He goes on to say, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that God comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The final thing that God did to help Elijah was that he reminded Elijah that he wasn't alone. God reserved a remnant of those who did not give into the Baal worship. God gave Elijah a friend who had the same purpose in life. When you realize that you're not the only one and that others care for you and love you, and that there are others going through the same circumstances that you're going through right now, for some reason, things don't seem that bad. If you're depressed today, God has given you a group of people who care for you and love you. They are the church. And you'll be surprised that many of them either have been or are currently experiencing the same thing that you are today. But more important than that is the fact that you'll never be alone because God is right there with you. In His Word, He's promised to never leave you or forsake you. And even when you're mired in sin, God did not abandon us, but rather He sent His Son to die for us on the cross. Maybe today God is speaking to you, not in the mighty wind or in an earthquake or a fire, but rather God is quietly whispering in your ear, and He's saying, I will take care of you. You need to trust in Him this day. This sermon today was given to me by God to do today. Probably because I was just as much depressed as you are, or you're starting to be. And it spoke to me, and I know, and I hope and pray that it spoke to you. Because I need to hear these words sometimes as bad as you do. And God knows this, and He talks to me, and He tells me, this is what you're going to preach on. I got this sermon in my heart a few days ago. Normally, I don't do my sermons until Saturday because I don't have time. But this sermon came to me a few days ago, and I started researching it then and started developing it. That's why I'm here today with this. It's helped me. And I hope that it shows in my preaching and my videos after today, because it's really helped me. I want to thank you all for hanging in there today. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we ask that you just be with us each and every day through this COVID-19, through this coronavirus, through whatever trials and tribulations that we are having, whether it's medical issues or financial issues or whatever it is, you'll be there with us, Lord. You'll help us to come out of these issues, come out of these depressions, to be with us each and every day. We just ask that you be with us, put a hedge of protection around us, put healing hands on those that need it, and just be with us, Lord, each and every day. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Amen. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day. I hope that you got a blessing out of it.
God be with you.
Go out this week.
Till we meet again.
Be a blessing and be blessed. Because the more you
by His counsel's guide uphold you. With His sheep securely fold you. God be with you. Till we meet again.
God be with you. Till we meet again. Neath His wings securely hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you. Till we meet again.
Till we meet. God be with you. till we meet again.